This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1893. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short and medium wave. On this edition, recorded August 29th, Alaska, Algeria, Argentina, Armenia, Australia, China, Cuba, Ethiopia, Germany, Korea North, Lithuania, Madagascar, New Zealand, Nigeria, Russia, Somalia, Somaliland, Syria, Taiwan, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Monitoring reports concerning the total solar eclipse are still coming in, including some observations about effects on shortwave. In the southwestern corner of California, where, of course, it was only partial, Dan Sheedy says he heard KNLS Alaska during the eclipse when he would not ordinarily hear it, 1729 UT, August 21st, on 9655 during their Russian programming. In the shortwave sites Yahoo group, Kai Ludwig reports about progress, slow as it is, on the new shortwave sites in Algeria at Bishar and Urgla, checking images on Google Earth. They are building each site a high and low pair of antennas and a 300-kilowatt transmitter at each one. Apparently they will be in existing buildings. The highest priority given to placing the antennas close to those, in fact perhaps too close to long wave masts already there at Bishar. It appears the long wave equipment at both sites is completely excluded from the modernization projects. There are 2 megawatt transmitters at either site, presumably Thompson Houston. They were apparently both built as part of a single project. They're clones of each other. He says it's expected the new shortwave equipment will be commissioned next March. First tests can perhaps be expected in December. Ian replies that it's very encouraging to see construction of shortwave broadcast antennas rather than destruction. But Kai replies this could, on the other hand, be a nail in the coffin of the Issoudun France operations. The goal of the Algerian project is to replace the use of third-party facilities. My long-awaited QSL numbered 001 for the new Argentina relays via WRMI has finally arrived. That was on 9395, English at 01 UT in early May. You can see it at my QSL website gallery via worldofradio.com/QSL.html, and letters QSL are in caps. It's at the bottom of the index. This QSL does not mention WRMI, however, and it bears a postal label rather than a stamp, which cost 73 pesos, which converts to over 4 US dollars for a little 20-gram card. I guess it's because of inflation. By email, I thanked Director Adrian Corol for this, and his reply has some new information. He says they had to negotiate new funding just to pay the QSL postage, and have been sending them out at the average rate of 50 per week. Some 400 correct reports have come in. Also, he says they are pre-producing new programs for the B-17 season, and also expect to get their own new offices and studios in November within the historic Radio Nacional building. Armenia has shown up on some new frequencies. There was one report of them on 9580 with no further details. And then on August 29th, 9640, discovered by Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria at 09 UT with a very good signal in Armenian until 1010. Probably some testing going on as it was cutting on and off. In fact, it was reported as early as 0530 UT, when it went off the air at 0538, according to Wolfgang Büschel. We're not positive about the transmitter's site, but assuming it's probably the main one for shortwave in Armenia at Gavar. Yari Savalainen listened to some recordings made by Evo and says they did identify in Armenian as Armenian Public Radio. 9640 kept on being heard on and off during the day on August 29th, including, according to Evo, something rather strange. At 1357 UT, they were in Russian with an identification as Govorit Moskva and the interval signal of Radio Moscow. They went off at 1537, but they were back on again at 1730. One of those new low-power private shortwave stations in Australia has now been reported on 5045. Brian Clark in New Zealand heard it August 28th at 0552 UT with a solid signal, playing classic hits and a slogan interspersed, "More music, less talk." No identification at that point. Thanks to that tip on the DX Listening Digest group, Bruce Churchill in California also heard it using a remote receiver in Edmonton, Alberta. Fair to poor copy. Low noise level and no interference. That was at 0745 UT, August 28th. And from the southern suburbs of Sydney, Brian Powell says, hearing it at 0739, via an SDR in New South Wales. They were playing What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones, and it was A Good Time by Liza Minnelli. We also heard from Fred DeVos in Adelaide at 0745, quite strong in South Australia with a mix of 60s hits, and that same slogan, "More music, less talk." Brian Powell says, according to the Australian Communications and Media Authority, 5045 has four licensees. Craig Allen for a transmitter at Razorback, southwest of Sydney. Tim Gaynor of Unique Radio fame in northern New South Wales. Nick Hotchko with transmitters in Queensland. And Stefano Molo in western Australia. At 0828, Bruce Churchill says they had a news broadcast by Australian Independent Radio, AIR, from 0814 to 0824. From the outback of New South Wales, David Sharp says it was not parallel to 4KZ in Queensland on 531 kHz. At 1000 UT, they had a segment from Focus on the Family, but then a Paul Simon song. It was very strong. David Koenig of Interval Signals Online was listening via an SDR in North Island, New Zealand. He says they crashed into the middle of a news bulletin at 1149 and an ID as Aussie Radio. Not sure if that starts with an O or an A. Cheekily preceded by Radio Australia's Kookaburra and Walsing Matilda interval signals. Fair reception. This was just in time for the new September issue of Australian DX News, where there's a report of 5045 of OZY Radio in Razorback, New South Wales, reactivated with a test transmission heard from 06 UT, August 28th, by John Smith, first, and also heard by others with continuous music, relays of Australian Independent Radio News, and a full ID at 1259, requesting reports to dxer1234@gmail.com. A strong signal, but it abruptly dropped off at 1319. Ian of Shortwave Sites says, here's the big surprise. Craig has secured two shortwave licenses for the 8HA site at Alice Springs, not too far from the inactive VL8A site. Registered frequencies are 2350 and 5050, both 5 kilowatts. Ron Howard says, thanks to an emailed alert from Bruce Churchill, I drove to Ocean Beach, San Francisco, and at 0927 heard a very weak carrier. No audio possible till my local sunrise, 1336. By 1334 and 1419, he was hearing Waltzing Matilda as a brief instrumental, perhaps their interval signal, and a number of other songs. Too weak to ID, however. On that occasion, propagation was degraded, and he thinks Aussie Radio could come in just fine with normal propagation. David Sharp quickly got an EQSL for the second day of transmission from Aussie Radio at Razorback near Camden, 25 nautical miles southwest of Sydney. They say the power was 500 watts. So, of course, I tried for it August 29th at 1209 and did manage to detect, you guessed it, way over here, a just barely audible carrier, but that's something. Via Bob Wilkner, NASA, Dan Sheedy in California reports hearing the voice of Strait, Fuzhou, China, on both its frequencies, going from 9505 to 4940 at 13 UT on August 7th, 8th, and 9th. They play pop music in English, some of it, as well as a Chinese romantic tune. And he says they close with a totally instrumental and program-ending info before they change the frequency. There's always something wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, August 27th at 1313. I was hearing two matching spurs coming out of the 15370 transmitter, 143 kilohertz above and below. I first noted it at 15513.045. It might have been Voice of Tibet, but they would not be 45 hertz off frequency from Tajikistan. And then the other one on 15226.951 approximately, coincidentally quite close to an unrelated intentional Cuban frequency, 15230. More about that new Ethiopian regional station we first reported last week on 5940. Wolfgang Büschel says it was not on the air when he checked August 24th at 0306, but the name translates to Radio Somali Region State of Ethiopia. And his research on Google Earth leads to a location in the town of Jijiga, J-I-J-I-G-A. However, it could be spelled many other ways. And he says it was also not on the air August 27th at 0455. The power is believed to be 50 kilowatts when it is on the air. Further monitoring by Wolfie found it was on the air August 27th at 1833, an S8 to S9 level. And it was weaker than other Ethiopian signals on the 49-meter band, which are nominally 100 kilowatts. Also confirmed August 29th at 0425. Again, a tiny signal, he says, the poorest of the Ethiopians. Via BCDX, Hans-Jürg Biener reports on Germany, the long-wave site for 183 kilohertz. It will be open for visitors, the former transmitter hall of Europe 1, on the 10th of September. It's the German version of World Heritage Day. So the building of the long-wave station Europe 1 in near Saarluis will be open to the public. It was built in 1954 to 56, combining the latest radio technology with avant-garde architecture. Guided tours will be at 14, 15, 16, and 17 hours Central European time. Otherwise, it is not open to the public. If you'd like to visit, you should contact the municipality of Eberhern or email City Hall, Rathaus at eberhern.de. Ivo Ivanov provides the schedule of the two related Japanese services about North Korean abductions, one in Korean, the other in Japanese language, as of August 27th. Now they're using three frequencies at once, all from the Tamshui, Taiwan site of 300 or 100 kilowatts. At 13 to 1330 in Korean, 9465, 9900, and 9940. And then at 1330 to 14 in Japanese, 9705, 9900, and 9950. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1893. Much more information available via our also non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from William Hassig in Illinois, who sent a check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. John Collins in Birmingham, U.K. reports Radio Liberty heard in Russian at 02 UT August 25th on medium wave 1386 kilohertz with an ID and news and another ID at 0214. He thought this would be coming from Bolshakovo, Russia, in Kaliningrad, but I think it's really Lithuania. 1386 kilohertz is a frequency which both countries have used and have shared, although not always very willingly, because we have another story from RusDX. Vilnius is preparing to include a transmitter for broadcast of Radio Liberty to Russia and Belarus. A TASS story, in fact, dated August 25th. They're going to turn on the transmitter, referring to it as long wave, but not giving a frequency. It was reported by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Lithuania. The ceremony would be on August 29th with the participation of the foreign minister and other ministers. It's a Nautel NX200 transmitter, replacing old equipment which worked for about 40 years. 1386 is, of course, at Sitkunai, Lithuania, which has also been used by Radio Baltic Waves. The old transmitter was 75 kilowatts, and the new one is 200. Of course, Radio Liberty is no longer allowed to be rebroadcast within Russia. By the way, I wonder what TASS, T-A-S-S, stands for now, because it used to stand for the Telegraphic Agency of the Soviet Union. It seems that Radio New Zealand's international shortwave antennas are still not back in whack. August 23rd, I happened to be awake around 11 UT, so I checked 7425. They are supposed to change from the north-northeast antenna to the north-northwest antenna only, with a drop in signal strength in this direction. But there was no break and no drop. Programming just continued. Then I heard that as of August 23rd, Adrian Sainsbury was saying, they're currently only able to transmit on both antennas all the time. So that would be 50 kilowatts each. On rare occasions, Voice of Nigeria shows up on the 31-meter band 9690. Such was the case heard by Dan Robinson in Maryland, August 26th, signing on after interval signal at 2000 UT. And he told Ron Howard they signed off at 21. Frequency actually 9689.9, reported by Torsten Hallmann in Germany, August 27th, at 0720, and at that time they were replacing the usual 7254.9. There ensued a contradictory discussion about which transmitter site they may be using on that and other frequencies, Abuja or Ikorodu. Anyhow, by August 28th, they were back on 7254.94 when I checked during the Hausa hour at 0629. Ron Howard in California reports, Radio Sakha via Yakutsk, Russia on 7345, 0948 to 1030 UT, August 27th. Their usual ID at 0950 and a series of ads, pop music at 1000 with their interval signal on a Jew's harp or Chomus, K-H-O-M-U-S, and time pips. He says there was a long segment of on-air phone calls after the news. Fair reception as CNR1 China does not sign on until about 11:01. 7295 remains silent, the other Saha frequency. Ron says, guess I enjoy this so much as it is the only Russian station that I hear now. To Australian DX News, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports the station on 7750, which he calls Warsan, Kenya, in presumed Somali language, August 16th, signing on at 0244, earlier than usual at 0325. I do not understand why he relates this to Kenya. It is presumably from Warsan, the town in Somalia. And now there's a new service or station, possibly clandestine, for Somaliland. Ron Howard says this was first reported by Mauno Ritla on WRTH Facebook, August 25th. He was hearing something in Somali on 7325. This must have been between 19 and 1930 UT. One identification for it is Somaliland's new voice of democracy. At the end of the transmission, Dave Koenig heard a brief burst of the Babcock interval signal, so it was certainly going into Somaliland from one of the Babcock sites. Ari Savolainen in Finland says, I wonder if the name is Voice of the People of Somaliland. The programs are available at the website somalilandvoice.co.uk. Pat Ludwig says that site gives the broadcast time as 10 o'clock local, presumably p.m., meaning 19 UT. It claims that these broadcasts are unbiased and independent, but does not hint at those who run this operation. Ivo Ivanov says, according to IBB monitoring, this station began broadcasting on August 19th, but still without any definite transmitter site. However, Wolfgang Büschel concludes it is Madagascar. From WRTHFB via Dan Goldfarb, medium wave masts. Possibly as the Syrian war is weakening in intensity, AM stations will return. Already, Saudi-based Rawad Hamvi has observed the reappearance of 5, 6, 7 kilohertz from Adra. Maybe over the next weeks, other stations will revive. Wolfgang Büschel looked at Google Earth images as recently as May 14th of this year, and it looked like the transmitter house and antennas are intact. Ron Howard in California reports the Central Weather Bureau in Taiwan. On 5170 USB, it seems stronger than the listed 250 watts, August 24th at 1333 to 1340, assumed to be in Cantonese with marine weather. And it was parallel to 8117 USB, listed as 400 watts, but both seemed about equal strength, with Kodar interference and static. He first published details about this 12 years ago in DX Listening Digest, and he emailed them a reception report via their web form and got a reply and translated back and forth into English, saying they have those two frequencies, a network covering the maritime space of Taiwan, both accessible 24 hours, providing latest weather observing data, analysis and weather forecast for 3 days, latest typhoon alarm reports, when there is one every 1 to 3 hours, and the latest typhoon report in the North Pacific. Speaking of typhoons, a week earlier there was no Hurricane Harvey, but within a few days he soon became horrible. John Collins reminded us to take a listen to the Ham Radio Hurricane Net on 14325 USB. I think that's more useful for the early stages when the hurricanes are developing in the Caribbean or Atlantic. In any event, the 20-meter band is for longer distance contacts. August 27th, around 0336, I band scanned the 80, 60, and 40-meter ham bands for any sign of emergency communications about the Texas flooding, and I did not hear any, although I did not know of any specific frequencies for that. It was just as if there were no crisis. The usual rag chews and contesters, such as the Ohio QSO party and a CVA event in Brazil. Via Southgate and Mike Terry, we are referred to the ARRL page about this, www.arrl.org/HARVEY, about all the amateur radio volunteer response to this critical situation. And it does mention that the night frequency or near-in frequency for the Hurricane Watch is 7268 LSB. Also check the Saturn Net, S-A-T-E-R-N, on 7262 LSB. From nearby in Oklahoma, I was trying to hear Texas medium wave stations with hurricane coverage, starting with 740 KTRH in Houston. Unfortunately, they're very directional toward the southwest, protecting Tulsa, and they even have to protect San Francisco and Toronto, so it's hard to hear them here, and they never did come up to a good signal, which they might have done if they were able to change to a non-directional 50-kilowatt antenna pattern because of the emergency. At times, by knowing Tulsa and or Toronto, I was able to make out KTRH a bit, including issuing one of the many tornado warnings which were caused by Harvey. Early on, I made random nighttime checks for the only 50-kilowatt station in Corpus Christi, KCTA 1030. Of course, it's licensed as a daytimer, allowed to go a little bit later because Boston is so far away, but I never heard it. It would have been non-directional. In the past, they've been caught illegally running into the night, but now that they could do it legally and necessarily, none of it. That leaves WOAI 1200 San Antonio, the original clear channel station, which has very wide coverage. And they were, of course, dealing with Hurricane Harvey, picking up the weather channel from the cable TV network, but with many local breakaways and still a full load of commercials. Still, it was rather odd to keep hearing the reporter referring to what we can see on our screen, which is rather difficult on AM radio. We know that the CBS TV affiliate in Houston, KHOU, was flooded for a time and knocked off the air. But there was not very much explicit info in the mainstream media about which AM stations were doing flood coverage or were knocked off the air. However, a good place to read reports from listeners in the area is the radiodiscussions.com board. It's divided up into many regional parts, one for Texas and another for Houston and Galveston in particular. I suggest you check that out. Despite wall-to-wall coverage on various TV networks, I noticed that our local Oklahoma City stations wanted to get in on the action by sending their own teams into the flood. We hardly need that. Artie Bigley forwards a Radio World story of August 28th. Look for the headline, Radio Stations Feel Harvey Impact. At that time, there were at least 9 radio stations out of service due to the effects of Harvey. This story does not mention the cities or frequencies. I recognize some of them as Corpus Christi, others as Houston, but here are the 9 call signs, KKTX, KUNO, KPRC, KKWV, KAYK, KMKS, KZFM, KKBA, and KEYS had all notified the FCC Disaster Info Reporting System that they were off. iHeartMedia stations were claiming to do a lot to cover the storm and the flood in South Texas, but one reply to this story by someone calling himself Robert E. Lee says, "I'm here in Corpus Christi. None of the iHeart stations was on the air until Sunday night. During the worst part of the storm in Corpus, we had to listen to KTRH Houston directly over the air, 740. The Corpus iHeart stations, contrary to claims, did not broadcast KTRH or any other news and info until Sunday night. Possibly this is because there were no engineers around to get the spare emergency generators going if they had them. Corpus Christi residents were let down by the radio stations." In ABDX, Kevin Redding in Tennessee reminded us, "Keep your radios on for stations along the Gulf Coast. All stations are authorized to operate with maximum power and non-directional in case of emergency, such as Hurricane Harvey. It will be exciting and intense when it's happening." We should, of course, add Louisiana and perhaps further states to this situation. In the first few days, WWL seemed to be in normal programming, but we can expect 870 in New Orleans to be covering further flooding in Louisiana. Propagation on from Boulder, G1 minor storms August 31st, ANK indices of 25 and 5. G2 moderate storms September 14th and 15th, 30 and 6. Solar flux dipping to 72 September 4th to 6th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1893.